The Pasuk says, it says that the life of Sarah, she was 120 years old when she passed away. And then Pasuk Beis says, Thomas Sarah Bekiryas Arba. She passed away in this place called Kiryas Arba. He Chevron, which is Chevron, Beretz Canaan, the land of Canaan. So Chevron was the name of it, but it was also known as Kiryas Arba. So the Medrash says the following. The Medrash delves into the actual name itself, and it's a whole Medrash. It's number 4, chapter 58, number 4, if you're looking at the Medrash. So it quotes the Pasuk, Thomas Sarah Bekiryas Arba, that she passed away in Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron. And the Medrash says, first of all, Dalet Shemus Nikrula, there are four names that this place had. This place had four names to it altogether. You find in the Chumash and Tanakh four names. One name is Eshkol, another name is Mamre. These are the actual names of people, righteous people in the times of Avram. Eshkol Mamre was a name. Eshkol Kiryas Arba, which is the name in the Chumash. I mean, that's the Pasuk says, Kiryas Arba, and then Chevron. So they're the two names which are actually stated in the Chumash, in the Pasuk, Kiryas Arba and Chevron. But those two additional names, Eshkol and Mamre, after those two righteous people too, that's four names. But then the Medrash continues and explains, why is it called Kiryas Arba? Why is it called Kiryas Arba? The word Kirya means town or village, an area. So it's called Kiryas Arba, the town of four. The town of four. Why is it called that? So the Medrash gives a whole series of answers. Number one, Shadar Bar Dalet Tzadikim. There were four righteous people who lived over there. On there, Eshkol, Mamre, Avram. They also had Bris Milah, as the Medrash goes on. Nimola Bar Dalet Tzadikim. These four individuals had Bris Milah as well. But these are four individuals, four righteous people who lived there. And they had Bris Milah as well. Dovracha, another pshat, is Kiryas Arba, Shenikruva, Dalet Tzadikim, that that's buried over there, four righteous people, Avos HaOlam. There are four righteous people who are buried over there, who are the four Avos HaOlam, the four patriarchs of the world, Adam, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all buried over there. Dovracha, another explanation of why it's called Kiryas Arba, the town of four, the village of four. Shenigbri Bada Dalet Imahos, because the four Imahos, the four matriarchs, are buried over there. And who are the four matriarchs? Right? There's Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Wrong. Right? They are the four matriarchs, right? But not all four of them are buried over there. Mm-hmm. Rachel wasn't buried over there because it's Kefir Rachel. She was buried somewhere else. So who are the four matriarchs who are buried over there? Chava, Sarah, Rivka and Leah. They're the four matriarchs buried in Kiryas Arba. Another explanation, Al Shem Ba'aleha, based upon the prior owners of this location. There were four people who owned this place, and they were Anok and his three sons. Now, who was Anok? Anok was a giant. Right, Anak was a giant, one of the giants, one of the surviving giants from before the flood. Discussion unto itself, but we know there are giants. Yeah. This comes up later on in the Chumash as well, by Midbar. So Anak and his three sons, these were four giants. Now they weren't righteous people. They weren't tzaddikim at all. But yet it's the Medrash says that it was named after these four giants. That's interesting. Amar Bazaria. Rabbi Zaria said another explanation why it's called Kiryas Arba, the town of four, is Shemisham Yotza Avino Avraham Shirodav Acharei Arba Malachim Kozmuk Rotorin. Interesting word. But it says that Avraham Avinu chased after the four kings when he defeated the four kings in the previous parashat, when he defeated these four world leaders. He departed from Kiryas Arba, from this location. This is where he set out on his campaign to overtake these four kings. So it was called Kiryas Arba because of these four leaders, these four kings, also not righteous people, right? For Shehi Ola Bekarnosin Shaldalit, also it's called Kiryas Arba because this city, this town, in the course of history, fell into the portion of four different groups. But Tehila, initially, it was in the tribe of Yehuda when Joshua came over the Arden into Eretz Israel. So Kiryas Arba Chevron was in the territory of Yehuda. Then later on, Kalev had a particular ownership in Kiryas Arba itself because he was rewarded with that, with getting Kiryas Arba. And also the Levium later on took ownership, so to speak, of this area. And then later on, specifically the Kohanim. So there are four groups of people who had the jurisdiction of Kiryas Arba, right? The tribe of Yehuda, then Kalev, and then the Levium, and then specifically the Kohanim. Four. And the final explanation is, and the reason why it's called Kiryas Arba, the town of four, because it is one of the four most inferior places in Eretz Israel. Geographically, the actual appearance, the actual physical terrain of Kiryas Arba, not a pretty place. And the Medrash lists off the names of the places. One opinion says the names of these locations, which were not so nice and inferior in Eretz Israel, was Dor Nofas, Dor Timnas, Sarach, and Chevron. And another opinion says it was Dana, Kiryasana, Timnas, Sarach, wherever these places were, and Chevron. So Chevron is considered like a very inferior geographically, as aesthetically very inferior place. It's one of four places which was inferior, which was aesthetically not so pretty. So you've got all these explanations about why Kiryas Arba is called Kiryas Arba. Kiryas, the town of four. So this was my medrash. This is what I looked at on Shabbos, this past Shabbos. So I looked at this. I just thought it was interesting, the whole list of all these different names. It's such an exhaustive list of all the different reasons as to why it's called Kiryas Arba. So I couldn't get my mind off of it. And I was thinking, like, what is the message of the medrash? What's the message of the medrash? And particularly, what I was struck by is the contrasting virtues of the town, of the city. On the one hand, it's named after the four tzaddikim, the Avos and the Imahos and all of the righteous people who are buried over there and had bris milah over there. And the Imahos are buried over there. These righteous people. So it has a very, very tremendously virtuous characteristic to it. But on the other hand, you've got three references to very unvirtuous people or unvirtuous characteristics. Number one, it was where these giants, these unvirtuous giants lived over there. So the whole, there are four holy cities in Eretz Israel. The four holy cities in Eretz Israel are Yerushalayim, Hebron, Tveria, and Tzfas. These are the four holy cities. Whenever you go to Eretz Israel, it's so important to go visit these places and to daven at the Kavarim, at the graves of these places. The Rambam's buried in Tveria, of course, Tzfas, all of the great tzaddikim in Tzfas and Yerushalayim. But Hebron is one of the holy sites, holy cities of Eretz Israel. So it's very, very perplexing. I mean, we understand why it's holy and it's special because of all these tzaddikim and these tzidkonios who are buried over there. But to be called Kiryas Arba, and for the Medrash to highlight, because the four giants lived there, the four evil giants, and it's called Kiryas Arba because it's from this location, from Hebron, that Avraham Avinu set out to kill and attack those four evil kings in the times of Kedar LaOmer. That's one of the kings. And it's called Kiryas Arba because it's the most inferior land in Israel. Aesthetically, it's not so pretty. It's called Kiryas Arba for that. Very strange. A very, very strange study in contrasts, right? So it was bothering me the whole week. The whole week long, it was bothering me. Unfortunately, once I get my claws into a particular medrash, I can't let go of it. And last night I was preparing for this, and I was thinking, I can't let go. I'm stuck. I'm having this internal dialogue. Well, just do a different medrash. I can't. I've got to do this one. I've got to figure out what this means over here. But there's so many medrashim. Look over here. There's so many nice messages. You can say this one. You can say that one. Okay, I'll try. And I keep going back to this one. And then I'm saying, I'm sure Hashem will help me find something, help me find an explanation. And I'm looking, taking this safer off the shelf, I'm looking it up in the index. Does anyone talk about this medrash? No one's talking about the medrash. I'm about to give up. And this went off. I was doing this intermittently over the course of a couple of hours. And then eventually I was about to give up. And all of a sudden, I found the answer. Wow. I found an answer. I found an explanation. The Orach Chaim, a Kaddish, the Orach Chaim. Now, he's not discussing this medrash, but this is a really amazing commentary by the Orach Chaim on the same Pasuk. The Orach Chaim, one of the classic commentaries on the Chumash. So he's talking about, he doesn't address the Medrash. I'm going to bring it back to the Medrash in a few minutes, but he's explaining that Sarah died in Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron. The Pasuk only mentions these two names, Kiryas Arba and Chevron. Now we understand, we have a better understanding why it's called Kiryas Arba. But the two primary names, the Pasuk doesn't mention the fact it was called Eshkol and Mamre as well. That's what the Medrash says. But the primary names which we have in the Chumash is Kiryas Arba and Chevron. So the Ur HaChaim finds a tremendous allusion in this name, tremendous allusion and very, very powerful idea. So he says, Ramez Akasa Bomer B'Kiryas Arba. The verse is alluding to, by calling it Kiryas Arba, is alluding to something. Loma, to tell you, ki chas v'sholem, God forbid, lo yisyaches hamisa l'tzadikim, don't attribute death to righteous people. God forbid to attribute death to righteous people. And the shekirias arba, the word kirias arba, the phrase kirias arba, purish, the meaning of it, is ir shahaysa benuya medala yasonas. It is the city which is built, made out of the four elements. What city? The city of the body. The city of the body. The actual Kyria means a city, a town, but it also has this connotation of a housing, of a place, of a location. So Kyrias Arba could be translated, could be understood as the city that was built from the four elements, which is the human body. The physical body is built of the four elements. So we have to, the Kiryas Arba is a remez, an allusion to the physical body made up of the four elements. Nifrida hi v'nasa mehem. That when a person passes away, those four elements do depart, but the soul continues on. So that Sarah died only in her Kiryas Arba. She only died in her body. Right, her body passed away, her body ceased. But to say that when a person passes away, they disappear into oblivion is fundamentally false. He says a righteous person lives on, and when it says that she died in the persona of her Kiryas Arba, of her body made up of the four elements, the Kirya of four, the city of four, the body of four, the body of the four elements. Ve'omro hi Chevron, and then it goes on to say, but this is Chevron. This is Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron. What does the word Chevron mean? Chaver, friend, connect, connection, purish. Shagam Shemesa, that even though she passed away, the physical body passed away, he mashbas behem bechinas achibo. Nonetheless, the soul still has an influence upon it and is connected to the body and is able to influence the physical body through a connection. Because righteous people, even when they die, haguf eina mushlal mehachayim. When a righteous person dies, he's considered to be not completely devoid of life. The body is not devoid of life even after a person passes away. A righteous person, there is still a chibor. The word chibor, chevron. There's still a chibor. There's still a chevron between the body and the soul of a righteous person after they pass away. So the physical body, so she died, the Kiryas Arba passed away, the physical body passed away, but there's still a Chevron, there was still a Chibor, that her neshama, her soul, is still very, very much connected to the body. Likewise, for all righteous people, that the souls still are connected to the body after they pass away, and still a mashpia upon the body after a person passes away. There's an influence of the soul, of a righteous person, there's an influence of the soul, and when I say righteous person, we can all be righteous, and we can all have this. This is all of our destiny. The righteous people, their neshamas radiate and illuminate the bodies even after they pass away, alluded to in Kiryas Arba, Chevron. And this is also stated explicitly in the Gemara. Tzadikim, hagam shemusa, tzadikim, even b'misoson. The Gemara said, tzadikim b'misoson, righteous people in their death, kruyim chayim, are called alive. They're still alive, even in their passing away. But say, leman maisa derav achai bar Yoshia. Learn from the story in the Gemara about Rav Achai bar Yoshia, he says. Who is he? Rav Achai, he passed away, the Gemara says. When he passed away, So the diggers came along and they were digging around and they disturbed his corpse. All of a sudden, the Gemara relates, the Rav Achaya reprimanded them and then engaged in a lengthy discussion with Rav Nachman, who was nearby. So Rav Nachman asked why his body had not turned to dust. Rav Achaya responded that certain righteous people merit to have their bodies remain intact and not decompose after they die. So again, the fact that Rav Achaya was able to speak after he died demonstrated that he was still somewhat in connection to his soul. The point is that the body, you know, passes away, but the body has the potential to still receive the light of the neshama after a person has passed away. V'hatamhu, the reason for this is, ki b'yosem ba'olam hazo, when a person is in this world, while we're in this physical world, living here right now, here we are, we're all here right now, we have the capacity to mahapech b'chida sachoma, to be able to convert the material of the physical body, and for that matter, all of the physical reality around us. We have the capacity to be able to convert the choma, the material of the physical world, of the Dal Yesodas, the Bechinas Aruchnias, into spirituality. We can make everything spiritual, including the physical body itself. The Bechinas Aruchnias HaKadosh B'Nefesh, Ben Tzoyis Meisen Tobin, through good deeds, through doing mitzvahs, through learning, he says, Haflogas HaTorah, through a real, through an extraordinary Torah study, through really strong Torah study, but by learning and davening and doing mitzvahs, we turn the physical into spiritual. Shemishtadlim Bolam has in this world. So this is what he says, and he elaborates on this even more earlier in Bereish, in the very beginning, the very first pasuk of the Chumash. He says a similar thing there as well. He says that Kishabar Hashem Es Adam, when Hashem created man, when Hashem created a human being, Barim Mekor Ruchnias, he created him from a spiritual source, which is alluded to in the word Hashemayim. He created the Shemayim Varet. So that's the source of the Neshama. And also, he created man from the physical source as well, from the land. So he created the heavens and the earth. The heavens are the source of the neshama, and the earth is the source of the physical body. He said, "Al yedei ma'isa adam," but through our lifetime, in the actions of a person, yis'atzeim lahapech achoma, then we can transform the physical, which is the body, until it becomes spiritual. And then the results, the tzaddikim enochozim, the righteous people, they don't fully go back to the ground because they've purified and refined their physical bodies till the physical bodies themselves have become spiritual. There's a spiritual power and spiritual nature to the physical body. Kamosha Kosev, as he quotes different places of it, and again, the same Gemara I said before, tzaddikim, even when they pass away, they're still called alive. They're still called alive because the physical becomes spiritual. And this is alluded to in the phrase "Bereshis Bara Elokim Esa Shemayim VeEsa Aretz." Shemayim VeAretz, heaven and earth, are juxtaposed to each other in that verse. There's a fusion between the body and the soul. However, he explains. He says the word "Esa Shemayim VeEsa Aretz." The word "Esa" means there's no real translation. It can sometimes mean "with," so it can also mean the following: that sometimes that the Shemayim Eis Haaretz can be with the body. It means the spiritual can be with the body. The spiritual can radiate into the body and elevate the physical body. And then for that matter also, Eis HaShemayim, Es Haaretz, the body can influence the soul. And we can either spiritualize the body or we could materialize the soul. It's our choice. We can either spiritualize our bodies or materialize our souls and bring our souls down. The result of that is there's no afterlife. There's a person passes away and they're finished forever. But we can spiritualize the body and have an eternity. But not just that, the physical, the spiritual, the body itself becomes spiritual. So there are I wouldn't say many, but there are stories which illustrate this. There are true stories which illustrate this. So one story from the Gemara, Rav Achai, which we read before, that that he was talking to Rav Nachman even after he passed away. But there are other stories like this also. There's another very famous Gemara in Kesubas about Rabbi Akiva. Sorry, Rabbi Yehuda Anase. Rabbi Anase, it says that before Rabbi Yehuda Anase passed away, he told his sons, he says, make sure that there's a light always lit in my place, in my house, and also the table is set, And also the beds are made, the furniture is all organized nicely, the beds are made nicely. This is what he instructed his children before he passed away. What's the reason why? So the Gemara says, because every Erev Shabbos he would come, after he passed away, he would come back, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would come back, and come back for Shabbos, and come there for Shabbos. He wanted the house to be set, so he wanted to have everything organized and everything nice for Shabbos when he would come back. Now, what's really astounding, well, that's astounding into itself, but the on the side of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, famous, you know, basic commentary, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he quotes from the Sefer Chassidim. These are, you know, major sources that the Sefer Chassidim says, Rabbi Hoya, I'm going to read the words, I'm not going to be able to explain it, but this is what it says. Rabbi Hoya Nira Lebnei Beso, the Rabbi appeared into his members of his household, the big day chamudos. He was wearing his Shabbos clothes. He had this beautiful look upon him. He was wearing his big day chamudos. Shalavish b'shem, he's wearing them for Shabbos. Upoter esarabim b'kiddush hayom. I would make kiddush for everyone. He made kiddush even after he passed away. Now you'll ask me, how can you make kiddush? He's not chayv mitzvahs anymore, so I can't answer that question. But it really illustrates. It shows us such a concept of a person passing away. And there's still life, there's still eternity to the soul, and there's still a manifestation. But there's some more contemporary stories. And this is I'll tell you two stories. And these are well-documented stories. This is a very famous one about the Vilna Gaon. So I'll read what it says over here. See, the Vilna Gaon was buried, his burial place was moved. So I copied this from a book about the Vilna Gaon. It says, another casualty of the Soviets was the ancient Jewish cemetery in Schnippeshock, the resting place of the Vilna Gaon and many of the other Torah giants who lived in Vilna. Prior to the leveling of the cemetery and replacing it with housing for more than 10,000 people, the Soviets granted the Vilna community permission to move 7 graves from the ancient cemetery to the Jewish cemetery on Zaretsha Street, which itself has been used for 2 centuries. After lengthy and heart-rending deliberations, the community selected 6 others to be reinterred with the Vilna Gaon. His father, Rav Shlomo Zalman, his son, Rav Avram, Rav Yeshua Heschel, Rav Yehuda Safra, Rav Avram Danzig, and Rav Shmuel ben Avigdor, the last Rav of Vilna, as well as the remains of Avram ben Avram. The 3 members of the Chevra Kedisha, charged with moving the bodies of these Torah giants, approached their task with great trepidation. On the appointed day for digging up the graves, they fasted and beseeched those about to be moved for forgiveness for disturbing their resting place. They first had to dig up the graves and then place the bodies, which had been wrapped only in the traditional burial shrouds, in coffins for transfer to the new cemetery. When the 3 finished opening the Vilna Gaon's grave and lifted him into a coffin, they were astounded to find that his body had not degenerated nor rotted at all in nearly 2 centuries. They were able to discern that even the hairs on his beard remained unchanged from the day of his patira, from the day of his passing. Now, this is a very, very unusual story. Unusual because, but it's it bespeaks this concept of people who live spiritual lives, live their lives connected to the neshama, it radiates into the body. It radiates into the body. The body passed away. The real intent of life and existence before the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge was that the soul of Adam Rishon should become elevated and elevated and then completely permanently spiritualize the body, if not for the eating of the tree of knowledge, which brought about death into the world. So that's why the body dies. However, there's still this notion that the body still has the power to be able to receive the illumination of the soul even after passing away as well. But the most contemporary story, and this I heard about 20 years ago, I never forget this story, but I found it again, I wanted to make sure I got it correct. So this is a story told by Rabbi Yisachar Frand, who lives in Baltimore. He's a very well-known rabbi in Baltimore, so Rosh Hashiva. So he said he was, many years ago, he was visiting South Africa. And he met a woman who was doing some type of report or some type of article, writing an article about the Baal Teshuva movement in South Africa. And he was speaking somewhere. She went over to him after the lecture and she said, can you explain something to me? This has been bothering me for many, many years. And she proceeds to explain that her parents were completely ignorant of Judaism. right? They had no idea about anything about Judaism. I mean, they really lived in a far-flung place. It was only, I think, her children became religious, but her parents were completely ignorant of anything about Yiddishkeit. Mm. So they didn't know, right? They just didn't know. However, she said that my father passed away over 20 years ago. And he was buried, you know, in the local cemetery. But my mother, I guess what happened, maybe the mother became more religious, and then the mother wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But she wanted her husband's body to be exhumed from the cemetery over there in South Africa as he brought to Eretz Yisrael. It was over 20 years later. So she got to this woman who was asking her friend this question. She said, I got my son, I have a son-in-law living in Israel. They came, and the Chevra Kadisha came to the cemetery to exhume her father's body, who had been passed away for over 20 years. Now, she said that, describing her father to him, she said that he was a very, very honest individual, impeccably honest. He had a tremendous reputation in this little town where he lived, where he grew up and where he lived, as this incredibly honest businessman. And while other people used to try and take advantage of the blacks over there, the local African, you know, the Africans, right? So he would never ever take advantage of anyone. He was impeccably honest, and that was a tremendous virtue that he had. Again, he didn't know anything about Judaism, zero knowledge of Judaism, but this was his virtue. So they go. So she says to Rabbi Fran, she said, when the Chevra Kadisha came to exhume his body, they were dressed in their overalls and the masks and everything, and they were all ready for it. And as they opened up the grave, they saw the same thing. They said this, they saw this. And then they opened the casket, and then Shalem, Tzaddik, the man from the Chevra Kadisha shouted, Shalem means intact. He said, he's intact. The body was perfectly intact. So she says, my son-in-law peeked into the casket himself, and he confirms it. The body looked exactly like the picture of my father that sits on this mantelpiece. It's unbelievable. The woman paused for a moment to gather her thoughts. Rabbi, believe me, my father, he had zero knowledge, but there was once, how could this be? How could he have had this happen to him? So Rabbi Fran was astounded, and he couldn't explain it. And all of a sudden he describes that all of a sudden it hit me like a bolt of lightning. There's a pasuk in Devarim, which says, Evan Shlema v'tzedek yehiye lecha, which part of the pasuk says, you shall keep honest, you shall keep scales that are whole and righteous. This is the mandate to be honest in business. That in the ancient world, scales and everything, so even today as well, honest scales and measures. And the pasuk says, keep honest, keep Evan Shlema, and Evan Shlema, your weight has to be shalem, has to be whole without anything gouged out underneath it to give the deception that it's worth more than it really is. Evan said, Evan Shlema v'tzedek yelecha. So he said, Rabbi Fran realized, he says, because he kept scales that were shalem, which were whole, therefore he merited to be shalem, whole, in his passing away as well. And this is the story. So, you know, this is an example. This is someone, I think, it doesn't say this over there, I think it stands to reason. You know, he was zocha to this because this was his mitzvah that he knew about, that he adhered to strongly. And I think obviously the message applies to all of us. Whatever mitzvahs we know about, we all know a lot more than this man knew. So that's the key. The key is adhering to the mitzvahs, which we know about. And that is, and then the result of that is the neshama radiates into the physical body, to the point that the body itself remains intact after passing away. Now, we're not doing, you know, the purpose of doing mitzvahs and the purpose of exerting ourselves in learning and the purpose of all this aliyah is not that we should have a body which is intact. The purpose is that we should have this relationship with Hashem for eternity. But the result of that is that the body remains whole as well. The physical body reflects that aliyah of the neshama throughout its lifetime. And that's the power of doing mitzvahs, the power of learning, the power of doing mitzvahs. So this is Kiryas Arba Chevra. So Kiryas Arba, she passed away in her Kiryas Arba fashion. The physical body stopped, but there was a tremendous radiance of Chevron, of Chibor, of Neshama light radiating into her body, as is the case with all righteous people have that power as well. That's the Or HaChaim. So I bring it back to the Medrash now. It seems like perhaps this is the obvious explanation of the Medrash. What is the Medrash saying? The Medrash is telling us that Kiryas Arba has all these different names. Why is it called Kiryas Arba? It's called Kiryas Arba because of the tzaddikim, but also because of the Rishayim. Also because of these empty, dark, unvirtuous characteristics as well. And that's exactly the point. Kiryas Arba is a picture for us of what we want to do with our lives. Do we want to spiritualize the mundane and make the physical spiritual and become tzaddikim for all of eternity, like the Avos and the Imahos? Or do we want to materialize the neshama and just let it be a place of graves, just be every grave be a place of bones and dead bones and just, you know, material gone back to the ground? What is Kiryas Arba? What is our Kiryas Arba? Is our Kiryas Arba a Chevron, right? A Chevron where all the tzaddikim are buried over there, and we've made our lives spiritual, we've elevated our lives, we've become tzaddikim? Or is our Kiryas Arba a Kiryas Arba where it's just a physical, it's an empty place, it's a barren place, it's one of the places, it's one of the worst places in Israel in terms of physical aesthetics? That's all it is. That's what, that's our body. You know, person passes away, they go back to the ground, life is over. It's all over. It's just a barren, empty place, a barren, barren place of nothingness. Is that our life, or is our life eternity? Is it a Chevron, or is it a Kiryas Arba? That's the question. And that's why, I think that's why the Medrash is bringing out these two very, very opposing pictures of what Kiryas Arba is like. It's either named after the non-virtuous characteristics of the four giants who lived there, of the four kings that Avraham Avinu chased after, or one of the four places which are just aesthetically unbeautiful, not beautiful, just a horrible place? Or is it named after the tremendous aliyah, the tremendous elevation of the eternity of the soul, as in the tzaddikim and the tzidkanyos are all buried over there? That's the Monday idea. That's what I thought would be the message. That's all. That's the, you know, so we go to Hebron next, we go to Eretz Yisrael. You know, next time we go, we should look at that place and use it as a, think about it. We can do it to every, you know, by thinking about it, think about it as a picture, as a profile of the choice of life, to spiritualize our bodies and our physical world, or to materialize the soul and bring the soul down and then to end forever. That's our choice.